Good morning. It's Tuesday, June 9th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. Regenerative farming practices can be a tough sell to farmers facing thin profit margins, but farmer-led groups where farmers can share their knowledge can help.
The key is the farmers on their farms, in their fields, figuring out the practices that will work for them to achieve these goals.
We'll take a look at the farmer-led movement and how it could change agriculture. That's after the news. Fewer Kansas children are living in poverty, but there's an increasing number without health insurance. KMUW's Roger Nomer has more on a recent wellness report.
The annual kids count ranks states in four areas: economics, health, education, and community. Kansas is fifth in the nation for children's economic security. This is driven by more parents working full-time and low housing costs. However, the state had 51,000 uninsured children in 2024, the highest number in 12 years. Nathan Kessler is the principal economist with Kansas Action for Children, an advocacy group. He says the report is a step in the right direction.
I want to acknowledge and recognize the progress we've made in areas, but not let that overshadow the improvements that there still are to come.
Kessler says more outreach would let parents know about available health insurance options like Medicaid. For KMUW News, I'm Roger Nomer.
The Kansas Republican Party held a contentious debate between four candidates for governor Friday night. State House reporter Zach Boblett says two of the Republican primary frontrunners shifted their focus from trading policy points to trading barbs.
The political mudslinging between businessman Philip Sarnicky and Kansas Senate President Ty Masterson took over the hour-long gubernatorial debate. Sarnicky took aim at Masterson's record on taxes. He attacked Masterson for his inability to get property tax relief passed and his yes vote on data center tax breaks. Masterson fought back by touting the endorsement he received from President Donald Trump.
He completely and totally endorsed me, and he had wanted nothing to do with Phil Sarnicky.
When it comes to the lack of property tax relief, Masterson blames a small group of, quote, phony Republicans in the Kansas House of Representatives for voting against his plan. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
The Wichita Wind Surge announced over the weekend that it will officially rebrand as the Wichita Turbo Tubs. The new name honors the bathtub races on the Arkansas River that were once a signature event during the Wichita River Festival. The team will remain a minor league AA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. The Wind Surge have worn Turbo Tubs uniforms for various games since 2022. The rebrand will include the new team name along with updated uniforms, logos, and merchandise for the 2027 baseball season. There will also be a redesigned mascot. Gas prices in Kansas and Missouri are falling, but as Sam Zeff tells us, that trend may not continue.
AAA says the price of regular gas dropped 15 cents a gallon in Missouri last week and now averages $3.85. Gas in Kansas is now $3.80 a gallon, down 11 cents in the last week. AAA spokesman Nick Chiberia says even though gas is a dollar higher than last summer, people are vacationing.
Even though we're seeing these higher prices, summer travel still is remaining very popular.
But AAA warns there is still great uncertainty about the Strait of Hormuz, which remains mostly closed because of the U.S. war in Iran. And with oil stockpiles getting low, gas prices could once again hit $4 a gallon in Missouri and Kansas.
That was Sam Zeff reporting. Southwest Kansans are getting the chance to better understand their main water source, the Ogallala Aquifer. As Kaylin Moore of the Kansas News Service reports, a new technique using a helicopter carrying an electromagnet is the key.
Western Kansas relies on a depleting underground aquifer for their water. The problem is too much water is being used and it's running out. That's why researchers want to understand just how much is left underground. The Kansas Geological Survey is leading a research project where a helicopter will drag a 3,200-pound magnet across the region to map the aquifer. Jim Butler, senior scientist for the Kansas Geological Survey, says this research is a one-in-a-generation opportunity.
We can give producers and everybody else in the area a better feel for where they go from here.
The helicopter will fly across the region, mapping a section at a time until late July. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Kaylin Moore in Liberal.
One of the region's leading country music festivals is heading to the Wichita area next year. The company behind the Country Stampede Music Festival announced Monday that it has reached a multi-year deal with Gillies Gambling Hall in Park City. Custom Entertainment says the move to Gillies will nearly double the festival's capacity to up to 35,000 people. The outdoor festival has been held annually in Kansas since 1996, usually in Bonner Springs on the last weekend in June. It features live music, camping, and food and drinks, among other things. The Wichita City Council will decide today on whether to join a national civility pledge. Members of the National League of Cities drafted the pledge in March. The organization's board of directors signed it and urged local governments to follow suit. The pledge commits the council to promote civility, lead with respect, and reduce polarization. Wichita's resolution highlights data from Gallup that point to the deference Americans have for local government. The Gallup poll shows about 67% of Americans trust their local government, while only 37% trust the federal government's domestic work. As teams and fans begin arriving in Kansas City for the FIFA World Cup, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is reminding people not to fly drones in unauthorized spaces. The FBI field office in Kansas City says the U.S. government will establish temporary flight restrictions around World Cup stadiums, fan festivals, and related events. Launching, flying, or landing a drone in those areas is prohibited and would be prosecuted as a federal crime. Anyone convicted could face a fine of up to $100,000 and a year in prison. We'll be back after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. It's getting harder for farmers to make it to the next growing season. The Midwest has lost more than 30,000 farms since 2017, and the future of farming is more uncertain than ever. But a movement that's well underway in Northwest Illinois could completely change how farming looks. The Mississippi River Basin Ag and Water Desk's Jess Savage has more on what's called the farmer-led movement.
It's calving season for cow farmers. Greg Thorin tools around his pastures in an old pickup truck, looking for baby cows that were born overnight that need an identifying ear tag.
That little calf was born this morning, or last night, or... Hi, sweetie.
Thorin is what's called a regenerative farmer. He produces almost everything he needs to raise healthy cows, but he's even more focused on healthy soil. He quit synthetic fertilizers and pesticides cold turkey years ago. That's saving him a lot compared to conventional farmers.
That's the neat thing about regenerative farming is people just share things because nobody knows the exact answer to this.
Thorin's always trying something new on his farm to improve the soil. He loves sharing what he's learned with other farmers, which he gets to do with a group called the Joe Davis County Soil and Water Health Coalition. It works together to protect the farming community and farmland. They're all trying new things and sharing what they learned. This work is at the heart of the farmer-led movement. It's offering an alternative to intensive agriculture, which is driving soil loss, water pollution, and financial crisis for farmers in the Midwest.
Change is what needs to happen.
Beth Baranski is the organizing secretary for the coalition.
Farmer-led movement allows people to share the risk and minimize the risk.
Conventional farmers are facing intense pressures to just make it to the next growing season. Even if they wanted to try regenerative farming practices, razor-thin margins make it financially risky to make the switch. But groups like this call on farmers to learn from each other and share the load.
The key is the farmers on their farms, in their fields, figuring out the practices that will work for them to achieve these goals.
And while there are plenty of government programs and grants and incentives that could help in theory, Baranski says many farmers are skeptical about how well they actually work. She said that generally, they're more likely to trust another farmer.
Somebody coming from the corporate world or from an institution, even higher education, and saying this is what you need to do is not as effective as a neighboring farmer who has tried a practice and found it beneficial.
The coalition offers connection and tested solutions to some of agriculture's biggest problems, but it's a slow-growing movement, and so much of the industry is set up to work in opposition to the coalition's goals. Jonathan Kappas is an associate professor of ag policy at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. He says the industry doesn't give them the support they really need in this economic moment.
When things are tight and margins are tough, what we've seen historically is farmers tend to push it, right? You push the land, you try to put more land in production.
He says policy coming from the government should make conservation practices easier, so farmers don't have to choose between protecting soil and water and a profit. But he says policies act like a barrier instead. That makes it hard for farmers to move away from conventional practices.
In theory, farmers could just decide to put less nitrogen on. The risk of doing that is pretty significant. So we may make it worse that way, but we're also not addressing those issues. It's almost like paradoxes within paradoxes wrapped in irony.
The farmer-led movement does have some federal backing. The coalition got some seed money from an organization called the Fishers and Farmers Partnership, which uses Congress-appropriated money to support similar projects in the Midwest. So far, they've aided 70 projects with more than $2 million in funding. As Thorin turns his truck onto the dirt road towards home, he says even though farming this way isn't exactly easy, when you think about it, it's pretty simple.
It's not about the people. It's about the farm. It's about the land. It's about the soil. That's why I tell these young people coming with me, I said, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about the soil.
Now the growing season is starting up. Farmers with the coalition are hosting field days throughout the summer to share what they've learned. From the Ag and Water Desk, I'm Jess Savage.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back again tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.